Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Toby on the Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, what you been up to lately?
I've been seeing so much theater. I've been seeing so many shows. I've been seeing so many musicals, so many plays. And when I tell you that not even Cleo, not even you could have predicted any of these fucking reviews...
Nope.
I just, it's a wild time to be alive and it's a wild time to be in the American theater. And I kind of love the chaos. I'm addicted to the insanity of it all. And I love that nobody can predict anything. And I think that that's what makes what we do so fun is that we get to talk about a lot of takes that we weren't expecting. And I think that's what we're going to get into today.
Yes, it definitely will be. And hopefully we'll have time maybe on a Patreon episode to kind of like do a debrief on all of the craziness that you've been up to over the last few weeks. But we have two shows that we have to talk about the reviews because we are getting into the incredibly hectic, busy last week of the 2023-2024 Broadway season. So on most days this week, we have two shows opening. Today, on Monday night, as we are recording, we have two. The first is The Heart of Rock and Roll. We're going to start with that one for a number of reasons, not the least of which is because they actually like had their opening night gala on Friday, and the reviews just came out on Monday. Then we're going to do Patriots, which had everything, its gala and its press opening, on Monday night. So let's start with The Heart of Rock and Roll. We've been talking about this one quite a bit. This is based off of the Songs of Huey Lewis and the News. It features a book by Jonathan A. Abrams, who co-wrote the story with Tyler Mitchell, and it is directed by Gordon Greenberg and choreographed by Lauren Lataro. The cast is a ton of fun. Corey Cott plays Bobby. Mackenzie Kurtz plays Cassandra. Also in the cast are Josh Breckenridge, John Dossett, F. Michael Haney, Zoe Jensen, Tamika Lawrence, Raymond J. Lee, John Michael Lyles, Orville Mendoza, and Billy Harrigan Ty. The show, as we said, had kind of like a split opening on Friday and Monday over at the James Earl Jones Theater. And the show is described this way: set in 1987 and jam-packed with Huey Lewis mega hits like Do You Believe in Love, Hip to Be Square, and If This Is It, The Heart of Rock and Roll centers on a couple of 20-somethings on the cusp of their futures. Bobby, a rock and roller who's traded his guitar for the corporate ladder, and his boss, Cassandra, who's always put the family business first. When they both get a second shot at their dreams, it'll take the power of love and a little help from their friends to figure out what kind of life they really want. One thing I'm going to say about both the reviews for both of these shows, for whatever reason, maybe because there are both of them, we are a little light on the total number of reviews, especially in the Did They Like It reviews. So they both only have 8 reviews collected as of now. Undoubtedly, there are probably more that are being released as we are talking, but it will be a little lighter in terms of the numbers on both of those. But we have a pretty decent consensus on both of those to get an idea. As of now, Did They Like It has collected those 8 reviews for The Heart of Rock and Roll. 5 of them are positive. 3 are mixed. We will start with Elizabeth Vincentelli writing for the New York Times, who was positive, saying, quote, "Now comes the new Broadway show, The Heart of Rock and Roll, which is not so much a Huey Lewis and the News musical as the Huey Lewis of musicals, not taking itself too seriously, doing what it does well, and just happy to be on Broadway, keeping company with starrier productions. Like most jukeboxes, The Heart of Rock and Roll shoehorns big hits, including The Power of Love and Stuck With You, with lesser-known tracks into a plot generic enough to accommodate them." She continues, quote, "While the dialogue has occasional pop, it's the performances that keep the show rolling, along with Greenberg and Lataro's fast-paced, resourceful staging. The Heart of Rock and Roll is not going to be the subject of think pieces or graduate theses, but its easygoing good spirits are bolstered by solid craftsmanship, and it'd be silly to turn up our noses at that. Have a good time," Huey Lewis once sang, wisely quoting Curtis Mayfield, "'cause it's all right." Chris Jones of the New York Daily News was also positive, writing about Huey Lewis's specifically accessible brand of rock and roll, and he said that it's, quote, "ideal fodder then for a modestly scaled and warm-hearted jukebox show that might prove to be one of the sleeper hits of the season. That's thanks to an inestimably witty book with plenty of hard laughs and a suite of winning lead performances under director Gordon Greenberg." Jackson McHenry of Vulture was mixed, but he did say, quote, "It helps that The Heart of Rock and Roll is the funniest new musical of the season." Regina Robbins of Time Out New York was mixed, giving the show 3 out of 5 stars, but she said, quote, "The saving grace for the heart of rock and roll, aside from Lewis and Company's appealing songs, is the talent of its cast, which is chock full of pros. Tamika Lawrence as Bobby's confidant and the grievously underused Zoe Jensen as Cassandra's college bestie provide big laughs. So does Mendoza as the sauna-obsessed meatball-loving Swede. For some members of Generation X, what this show offers will be more than enough. Squeeze your memories into spandex and get ready to turn back the clock. Who needs a DeLorean?" Obviously referencing the fact that there is a Huey Lewis song also in Back to the Future on Broadway right now. And I tried to normally not to include Johnny Oleksinski, but even he was positive for the New York Post, saying, quote, "Even more surprising is that one of those shows, The Heart of Rock and Roll, which opened Monday night at the James Earl Jones Theater, has turned out to be an underdog highlight of the season. Rolled out modestly, Little Heart is also a lot more fun and proudly frivolous than any of its sober-minded neighbors. It's perhaps the first time in my life that I've been happy to see a confetti cannon at curtain call." So, Grace, even these mixed reviews are like positively mixed. So for a show that I know I've been really looking forward to, and we'll talk about you looking forward to it here in a second, like, I'm just kind of like a little choked up by the fact that this little show that could seems to be striking the right chords with both audiences and critics alike.
Yeah. And I'll just start by saying the fact that, and Matt, you know this, but just for our listeners, like, I'm incredibly, incredibly biased to this show because I not only work on the show, like as part of work, but also I am connected to a member of that cast, right? Like I, you know, have watched work through this show for 7 years. So I know that I am genuinely biased to this company, to this creative team, to just all around what it is to be in that show. But all that to say, I am also of sound mind and body and have a job, you know, and can objectively look at things. And the fact that every time I have brought someone to this show, they have left with their face hurting from how much they are smiling and how they're like, look, it's really silly, but God, is it fun. And everyone there is so supremely talented. It's no shock to me that critics are probably incredibly fatigued by this jam-packed, exhausting season. There's a lot of pretentious art. There's a lot of overzealous art. There's a lot of fine art, but there's not a lot of fun art. And I think that we have lost a lot of the entertainment value that Broadway can and should bring. And if you look at the streets, there's not a lot of it that's done well. Matt and I have talked a lot about, you know, shows like Legally Blonde in the past, shows that have not only serviced, you know, the original material, but also like done something really great for audiences. And I think that people are finding, especially critics, it seems, that they had a really good time. So what's wrong with that? Unless it's inherently incredibly offensive or very obviously a cash grab. Like, if it's not awful, like, let it live. And I know that that sounds like it's a very low bar, but like the people in this are incredibly talented. They're very hardworking, but also it's a lot of fun. I have never gotten bored of it every time I've seen it. I do not have to see it as many times as I have, but I choose to, and I choose to bring people, and it's never failed me. So I'm very grateful for the fact that people that are having to review a lot of these shows did not find it incredibly, ugh, you know, who needs this? That was the rhetoric that we were facing, you know, 2 months ago, right? Was everyone was saying, why do we need a Huey Lewis musical? Well, nobody needs any of this shit, but we have it. I think that it's really exciting to see that there was a lot of genuine enjoyment out of it, and that people are hopefully going to take a lot of that word to heart and choose to go, because there's so much available on the street. You could really see anything. My mom is planning her trip coming up like next week, and she was texting me saying what shows she wanted to see. And it was so interesting to see that like there were some shows that have been long running mixed in there, but there was also like Enemy of the People. And I was like, why do you want to see that? And she was like, well, because of the hype. And, you know, it was just fascinating to be like, okay, what's actually reaching out into like middle America or Southern America, you know? And so I'm just hoping that everything on the street is uplifting itself and each other. And even if you're going to see Limpica, go see the Heart of Rock and Roll on the same block, you know? So I think it's great.
Yeah. A lot of these reviews, I mean, multiple reviews compared the Heart of Rock and Roll to Mamma Mia, and they did that positively. That was a good thing in those reviews, that the silliness and the earnest understanding of what those shows are trying to do, and as a couple of the reviews said, didn't take themselves too seriously and just were looking to have a good time. That's a positive. So I will also see it next week, and I cannot wait to do that. All right, let's turn our attention to something that is a little bit more serious, and that is the other show that opened on Monday night, and it is Patriots over at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. This is a show that is currently scheduled to run through June 23rd. It is coming off of an acclaimed award-winning run over in the UK. It is written by Peter Morgan, who has had shows on Broadway, but he is most notably known at this point for being the creator and writer of the Netflix series The Crown. It is directed by Rupert Gould and has a cast that is led by Michael Stuhlbarg as Boris Berezovsky. It also brings over two of the stars from the UK production, Will Keen as Vladimir Putin and Luke Thallon, Grace, who you interviewed here on Broadway Radio a few weeks ago, as Roman Abramovich. And this show is, as you can imagine, about the Soviet Union. It's 1991, after the fall of the Soviet Union, and Russia now belongs to its oligarchs, and no one is more powerful than billionaire Boris Berezovsky. When an eventual successor to President Boris Yeltsin is needed, Berezovsky turns to the little-known deputy mayor of St. Petersburg, Vladimir Putin. But soon, Putin's ruthless rise threatens Berezovsky's reign, setting off a riveting, near-Shakespearean confrontation between the two powerful, fatally flawed men. Again, 8 reviews have been collected as of recording time from Did They Like It. 1 was positive, 7 were mixed, which is, to be quite honest with you, Grace, not what I was expecting. But let's start with Jesse Green of the New York Times, who is mixed, writing, quote, "Like Morgan's The Crown, it's a bit cheesy, making it sometimes baggy drama. It could reasonably have been half or twice as long, from a highly tendentious selection of facts and a perhaps over-liberal imagination. In doing so, it provides, also like The Crown, the opportunity for some very enjoyable performances, not just from Stuhlbarg and Keane, but also from Luke Thallon as an implausibly beamish Abramovich. But just don't look for interesting women here. They are mostly afterthoughts, arm candy, and Bechdel test flunkouts. But then, Patriots is no better a source for moral news than the other kind. Perhaps no play is. Here, though, Putin is given way more than his due, glamorized as a shy, upstanding mayor corrupted by Berezovsky and his plutocratic ilk. Whereas Berezovsky, who did after all try to bring Putin down, is left in the gutter with a certain amount of dramaturgical glee. Gould stages his downfall like a rock opera, with strobes, burst of loud noise, and weird dancers. If not moral clarity, then Patriots at least offers a lesson. There are moments when tyrants are still tyros, when Putins are nobodies, and evil can be redirected or sidelined. Wait too long, and you could lose your chance." Turning now to Chris Jones, who was positive, writing in the New York Daily News, saying, quote, "Patriots, a gripping, juicy drama replete with a terrifying performance from Will Keen as if Richard III, like you know who, offers up a potted history of Russia from the 1990s, the era of bumbling Boris Yeltsin, to the present. Its central dramatic question, how did Putin happen?" Next, we'll go to Zachary Stewart from Theater Mania, who was mixed, saying, quote, "Gould allows nothing to impede the forward progress of the plot. So why does it so often feel inert? Why does the story of who will lead the country with the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons feel so low stakes?" Turning to Robert Hoffler from The Wrap, he said, quote, "Ultimately, the first-rate comedy of the first act turns into the second-rate melodrama of the second act." And finally, Greg Evans of Deadline said, quote, "As history lesson, Patriots is more than worthy. As drama, well, it's a history lesson." So, Grace, as I kind of have been putting my spreadsheet together this week of like what I think is going to be nominated for all of the major performance and production categories, I wasn't sure what to do with Patriots because I haven't seen this one yet either. But I'm a little surprised by these reviews, so I have to kind of reconfigure some of my predictions coming up before the Tony Awards on Tuesday. But like you said, we have no idea what the critics are going to say, and the critics aren't necessarily going to be in line with the Tony nominators, but it is kind of interesting to compare our expectations for the response to what the actual response is.
I agree with you. I think that we're in the Wild West. I don't think that
all of the, I listened to me after we just had, you know, a great critical reception to The Heart of Rock and Roll.
You know, I think that we're in a time of the Wild West, and I think that we cannot by any means go ahead and say these are the nominees for XYZ. We had, you know, our Drama League today nominees, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
Tomorrow's
yep.
Outer
Which
Critics.
We'll talk about next. Yep.
Exactly. But I think that we really don't know. And Michael Stuhlbarg especially is such a celebrated actor. It would not surprise me if like he's up there with some of the best performances of the season, as people are noting. Steve Carell also might creep in there, so who knows? But yeah, I agree with you. We really don't. I'm not one to say that I think I know what's going to happen for sure on April 30th.
All right. You mentioned the Drama League Awards, and I'm not going to run through all of these because they basically nominate like 80% of every show that's on Broadway, and then they literally nominate 50 different individuals. So I will leave the nominations for all of this in the show notes if you want to check that out. But I will run through the production categories real quick. This is for both Broadway and off-Broadway. Outstanding production of a play: The Comeuppance, Flex, Grief Hotel, The Hunt, Jaja's African Hair Braiding, Mother Play, Oh Mary, Patriots, Prayer for the French Republic, Stereophonic, and Wet Brain. Outstanding revival of a play: An Enemy of the People, Appropriate, Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, Doubt, The Effect, Mary Jane, Art Class, Pearly Victorious, Uncle Vanya, The White Chip. Outstanding production of a musical: Buena Vista Social Club, Dead Outlaw, Harmony, The Heart of Rock and Roll, Hell's Kitchen, Illinois, Limpica, The Notebook, The Outsiders, Suffs, Teeth, and Water for Elephants. And then outstanding revival of a musical: Cabaret, Gutenberg, Here Lies Love, I Can Get It For You Wholesale, Merrily We Roll Along, Spamalot, The Who's Tommy, and The Wiz. There are also nominations for director as well as performance. So if you want to check all of that out, you can do so in the show notes. And real quick, Grace, the only bit of news that I have is the fact that the aforementioned Stereophonic has extended by 4 weeks. It was originally only supposed to be a 14-week run. It will now play until August 18th. And as of now, it was originally supposed to close on July 7th. It's now going into August. I don't know if the Golden has anything scheduled to come in after that, but Grace, if this continues to go as well as it has been for Stereophonic after those reviews, if it wins a bunch of Tony Awards, I could see this kind of turning into, if not an open-ended run, at least one that continues to extend because those reviews have been fantastic. I can't wait to see this one again on Broadway. So who knows? Like you said, wild, wild west out there and anything can happen. All right, let's wrap up with a few feel-good recommendations. I will just run through them really quickly. First, we have a little bit of a clip of Jordan Tyson singing If This Is Love from The Notebook. We also have a little bit of a featurette on the choreography of The Who's Tommy from Lauren Lataro, who, based off these reviews, Grace, Lauren Lataro might be a double nominee this year for the choreography for both The Who's Tommy and for The Heart of Rock and Roll, which would be very cool. And then the final one is some highlights from Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club, which again opened on Sunday night. All right, anything else that you need to throw out there for folks, Grace, since you've been off the airwaves for a few weeks? Any recommendations, any reminders, anything that you want to point people to?
Famously, go see Robbie Rizal on May 10th at 54 Below. Go see a freaking show. I say this all the time. Everyone's like, Grace, you're broken record. I understand. But this, you know, you could see great reviews for something, and then all of a sudden, 3 weeks away, they announce that they have to close down for whatever reason. Or, you know, you've been waiting to see this show that has gotten successful reviews, but then all of a sudden it's sold out, blah, blah, blah. If you have the means, go support live theater. There's a lot of great regional stuff out there, but it's kind of a very blanket statement to say that just try to see as much as you can, because there's a lot of exciting stuff out there. There's a lot of well-written things. There's a lot of great performances. I'm very inspired by this season. I'm very excited. It's a good time. So go see stuff.
All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. You can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Hockey.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.